This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. I'm gonna buy me a dog. A dog? Dog. Why? Why? 'Cause I need a friend now. Babe, you need all the friends you can get, I'm telling you. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
My girl, no love, no how. Don't ruin my
So that's the Monkees, of course. And right now we're going to talk about
dogs, of course.
Absolutely, dogs. But first, a little survey. And I want to include you, Anthony,
all
and
right.
Everyone in the control room, Mark, Jessica, Adam, Tim, and everybody listening on the radio. Okay, so here's the survey. How many of you have a pet? Raise your hands.
And if you're driving, maybe just raise an eyebrow or something.
One, two, three, four, five. And maybe untold thousands listening on the radio. Okay. A lot, in other words. And how many of you, this is kind of sad, but how many of you have had to say goodbye to an old pet?
Oh, yeah.
One, two, three, four, five, and also maybe untold thousands listening on the radio. But Anthony, you raised your hand.
I did. I mean, I adore dogs, have always loved dogs. I think the last time I had to put a dog down is why I haven't gotten another dog. This is the thing about dogs. They become so close to us. We love them so much, but they're only with us 12 or 13 years.
How long ago was this?
A few years ago, but I just don't know if I want to take on another one, you know, because of that grief, quite frankly.
Yeah. Well, I have a dog at home right now, too. He's a young one. He's only three. But every once in a while, I sort of look down at him and give him a scratch under the chin, and I just think, I can't imagine him not being here or being, you know, sort of his jolly, happy-go-lucky self. Well, the reason why I did this survey is the fact is that there are advances in veterinary medicine that have to do with exactly this: geriatric veterinary care, because there are so many dogs or cats or pets in general that are living longer than ever. And so this is a growing part of what vets do now, and actually a growing part of what pet owners have to think about every single day. And it turns out that one of the nation's most prominent experts in this field of how to care for older pets is from right here, and his name is Nicholas Dodman, and he's in our studio today. Dr. Dodman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good to be here, Meghna.
Well, you are the head of animal behavior at the Tufts Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine, and you're also the editor of Good Old Dog, Expert Advice for Keeping Your Aging Dog Healthy, Happy, and Comfortable. It's out in paperback this month. So first, let me ask you a question. You saw my incredibly unscientific survey of our staff here and people listening on the radio about how many folks have had to deal with an aging pet or even losing a pet. Most hands went up. I mean, is it really that pets are living longer than ever and more people have to deal with end-of-life issues for their beloved animals?
That is true, because what's happening is that the pet population is mirroring the human population in the sense that it's kind of getting tilted towards the elderly end, what with better nutrition, better veterinary care, people being a bit smarter about pet ownership. There are many more older pets these days.
So listeners, I don't want to leave you as just being part of my unscientific survey. I do want to include you in this conversation. So give us a call. Share your good old dog or cat or ferret or whatever pet stories. And let us know. I mean, have issues of, say, dementia, arthritis, even cancer come up in your pet's care? And how are you managing the aging process of your best friend? And here's a question I have for you. Do you sometimes wonder if your own emotional need to keep your pet alive is actually outweighing what's in the best interests of the animal? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And also, Dr. Dodman can take a question or two if you have one. So, Dr. Dodman, your book is about good old dogs. So let's talk about dogs for a little bit. What are the primary health issues that do come up when a dog reaches his or her senior years?
Well, as in people, all organ systems sort of taper down. But old age is not a disease. You know, things begin to wind down, whether it's hearts pumping a little less efficiently or lungs working a little less well or brain slowing down. We heard on the news today that for people, their memory slips at the age of 45. So, you know, everything sort of winds down. But there are specific diseases of just about every organ system that can occur and come to bite you as the dog, usually in your older years. Actually, the longer you live, the more likely you are to come up against one of these conditions.
Now, I know when we say older years, that depends on, I guess, the breed of the dog, the size of the dog. Is that sort of our general rule of thumb of one dog year equals 7 human years? Does that actually apply in this case in terms of measuring when a dog reaches old age?
Well, it's not a bad sort of rule of thumb, but in fact, it depends on the weight of the dog. So in the book, we have a chart. So just for fun, you can go down the left-hand side and you can see how much your dog weighs and what his age is and what that might be in human years. So just to keep a long story short here, is that essentially the smaller the dog, the lower the factor. So it may even be as low as 5 for some little dogs, like a Chihuahua.
Okay.
So when he's 10 years old, he's only equivalent to a human who's 50. But if you take, a Great Dane or a Wolfhound, a huge dog, the factor actually goes up to about 8 or 9.
8 or 9. And even some breeds like the Bernese Mountain Dog, many of them don't even make it till 7.
That's right. They have some other issues that kind of come and get them early.
Well, one thing that you spend quite a bit of time talking about in the book is nutrition. And I know, the pet food industry as a subset of the pet healthcare industry is massive. And anyone who's looked knows that there are thousands of senior dog formulas in dog food. Does that really work? Is there a different formulation that's better for older dogs? Or is it just a marketing ploy?
I'm afraid to say it's just a marketing ploy. That the label, senior or advanced years, whatever is put on, is just to get people to buy the bag. There's only 2 types of food that are sort of legally governed, and one of them is puppy food, which has to have certain levels of protein and nutrients for growing dogs, and adult dog food. But for the older dog, whatever age that happens to be, let's say around 10, people will say for the senior dog, and some people have more protein in it, some people put less protein in, some people add glucosamine chondroitin sulfate for joints, some people do this, some people do that, and it really, senior food means whatever the manufacturer wants it to mean.
Well, we're talking about good old dogs, actually good old pets in general, and expert advice on keeping your aging dog happy, healthy, and comfortable. Our guest is Dr. Nicholas Dodman. He's the head of animal behavior at Tufts Cumming School of Veterinary Medicine, and the book is, of course, Good Old Dog. And again, we don't want to just limit this to dogs, because I know that aging is an issue for people's pets, no matter what species they are, but you can give us a call with your question or your old pet stories. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I want to take a call here from Kai Edie, who's calling from Jamaica Plain. You're on the air.
Happy New Year, Meghna.
Happy New Year to you.
I just wanted to tell Anthony Brooks, because I heard the poll that you take, and I understand that he's sad because, within the last 5 years, I've had 2 large breed dogs pass from 2 different forms of cancer. So I understand him that he's, pretty sad about the loss. But I just wanted to tell him that our lives are longer and their lives are shorter, so it was done that way so that we could be more helpful to the animal, to the dog.
It's a nice thought, Kaidi. I really appreciate that. It's a really nice. Plenty of dogs out there need our love, and we got plenty of love to give them.
Are you, Anthony? They're just waiting. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for that pep talk. You're going to make me rethink my position.
Kaidi, thank you so much for your call. I have a large breed dog, and one thing ever since he was a puppy, when we were working with the breeder, said, you got to look out for joint problems. Mm-hmm. And so arthritis is one of those issues that comes up a lot in older animals. But in the book, you explain that the cause of arthritis in dogs is different than in humans. What's the difference?
Yeah, there's quite a difference in the sense that with humans, arthritis is more of a wear and tear lesion that constantly running around or whatever, you wear your joints down and they kind of corrode, and then you end up with osteoarthritis. Dogs tend to start out with a mechanical glitch, whether it's the famous hip dysplasia or elbow dysplasia or something of that nature. And so the seeds are sown in a very young dog, and then as they get older, it suddenly starts to be much more troublesome. So just a slightly different cause, but very similar treatment.
Similar treatment, which would be...
Well, you could, it's good for us and good for dogs to do some exercise, not to sit around. You need to keep those muscles strong, not too much, so you hurt just enough, kind of Goldilocks level. things like glucosamine chondroitin sulfate are recommended by my doctor, for example, but also by lots of veterinarians. We point out that there are some brand names that are probably better than others. You can use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, some really good ones for dogs to get them through tough times. There's a bunch of things that you can do that will help, even more powerful painkillers than NSAIDs.
Uh-huh. There's a picture in your book of a dog doing aquatherapy, actually, in a pool on a treadmill.
Yeah, I had a friend who had a German Shepherd. Of course, they're big with joint problems and hip dysplasia, and he would get in a pool. He'd drive for an hour in his Jaguar to a swimming pool, and then he'd put the dog on a lead, and he'd dive in with it and do laps. So the dog's in the water and able to use his muscles without causing pain to his hips.
Wow. Let's take another call. Tim is calling from Boston. You're on the air, Tim.
Hi, Magna. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to share a story about my dog who passed away in June. He was an 11-year-old golden retriever, and he died of cancer, so it was my decision to have him put down. But prior to the actual operation, I didn't have enough money to pay for his cancer operation because I'd been out of work for, at the time, about a year and a half.
Tim, was this an operation to remove the cancer?
It was. What we found is a tumor on one of his paws. Mm-hmm. So one of his toes had to be amputated for it.
So how did you end up affording the operation?
Well, what ended up happening is a number of friends knew my predicament and that I didn't have enough money, and he was my entire life. I had had him since I was a puppy. And what they ended up doing is organizing a Facebook page for him. And we did fundraiser through Facebook so that people who didn't even know me were able to donate, and I got so much support and so many messages from people who had no idea who I was, but they knew what a connection with the pet was like, and they wanted to help. So that's how he ended up paying for his operation, which I thought was just so wonderful. It's a nice way that I can remember back at the end of his life, how it brought a lot of people closer together, and a number of people were sad as well when he passed. So I wasn't the only one who was grieving at the time either.
Tim, thank you so much for sharing your story, and thank you for your call. On that note, I want to take another call from Tricia, who's calling from Methuen. You're on the air, Tricia.
Hi, thanks, Magna. I just wanted to share a story about my cat, and he had cardiomyopathy, it was a thickening of the wall of his heart, and he also had a hole in the septum of his heart. So we had to bring him for ultrasounds twice a year, every year, to monitor his heart. So I spent thousands of dollars over there, but he was such a fabulous cat that I would do it again in a heartbeat. And in fact, I am doing it again because I ended up adopting a cat from the MSPCA who had cardiomyopathy also.
Tricia, thank you so much for your call. Those two calls, Dr. Dodman, raised this question in my mind. With dogs and cats and pets living longer than ever, the cost of their care goes up, just as it does with human care with each additional year of their lives. I've never asked a vet, is it their job to tell an owner when enough is enough? But is this an issue that vets are wrestling with pet owners who come into their office? About it just costs a lot to take care of the animals.
It is, because there's no health care for pets.
But you can't have pet insurance, though.
Oh, you can. Yeah. So we discussed pet insurance, which actually is a lot better now than it ever was. It started out and there were some glitches and it kind of crashed, but it's been reborn. But the other way, which we recommend in the book, is to maybe put a little bit of buy each month, because you know your dog is going to get older and you know you're going to have to pay out some expenses. And if you don't need to use that money, then you've got it for yourself. You know, if there's something sudden happens, the dog passes away, you don't need to spend it. You've got a nest egg, but it's there if you need it.
Anthony, I got to ask you a question. Because the next question in my mind is, how do you know when it's time? And do you mind if I ask, with your dog, how did you know that it was time, enough was enough?
I think it just became when he couldn't move from room to room. there was just, we just had to make a decision about quality of life. And of course, nobody wanted to make that decision to put him down, but he would literally, he had dysplasia. He couldn't get around. And it just got to the point where he would, the back of his body would flop down and he would howl because he couldn't get from room to room. He had to be carried outside to relieve himself. He had to be carried downstairs. He had to be supported to eat his food. He still had an appetite. And that was the difficult decision, because there'd be moments in the day when we'd say, well, look, there's still enjoyment. You know, he still responds to a cuddle. He still responds to a scratch. He still enjoys his food. But it seemed to me at a certain point that most of the day he was in pain. He was distressed that he couldn't move around. He was distressed that he couldn't get from one room to be with you in the other room.
He wasn't himself.
So it was time to put him down. But it didn't feel like a straightforward decision.
It sounds like you made the right decision, and we try to help other people with their decisions in the book by explaining, you know, how do you make that decision, and it's a good idea to involve the whole family, another person who's not part of the family who could look at it more objectively, and your local vet, and just sit down and have a conference and come up with all these factors you were mentioning about, you know, is the dog eating, does he enjoy being petted, do you think he's got a quality of life, or is he in pain, and then you make the painful decision. I should say, for people who have dogs with hind end problems, there are various devices. There's a bottoms-up leash now, so you can actually have the leash on the back end of the dog, which helps it to walk around.
I've seen them too, yeah, with some dogs sitting on what is really sort of rear wheels almost, so their front legs are still using and they're just gliding along, pulling the back of their body along.
It's just like people use this sort of walker thing with wheels on it, yet the dog has it on the back end.
There's one more call I want to sneak in here, and it's from Eric, who's calling from Harvard. You're on the air, Eric.
Hi, I have a question, or sort of a curious thing that I've seen happen now twice with pair dogs, where the two dogs are very close, and one, dies of old age or something, and the other just goes from, you know, being reasonably healthy in good shape to, you know, very much changed within a short period of time in terms of body weight and, you know, overall disposition, graying of the furs around the facial area. And
So suffering the loss of his or her companion. Eric, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but we're running down on time, and I want to hear what Dr. Dodman has to say about that.
Well, that does happen, and we actually have animals brought to Tufts to the behavior clinic specifically with that problem, that two dogs who are bonded, one dies, and the one that's left goes into clinical depression. Life appears gray. They don't play. They don't eat properly. They lose weight. They have no interest in life. And we have to get them out of that funk. And sometimes we actually use antidepressant drugs, human antidepressants, to help them through. Or there's other non-drug methods, like, for example, getting a puppy sometimes can help a dog along.
A companionship always will never go amiss, it sounds like. Well,
right.
Well, Dr. Nicholas Dodman, veterinary behaviorist and the head of animal behavior at the Tufts Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine, and the editor of Good Old Dog, Expert Advice for Keeping Your Aging Dog Healthy, Happy, and Comfortable. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Meghna and Anthony.
Next week on Radio Boston, we'll be broadcasting live from Manchester, New Hampshire on Monday and Tuesday, keeping you up to date on the First in the Nation primary, from the final day of campaigning through voting day. That's next week on Radio Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.
My dog, baby, I love my dog. Na, 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 na.